It's time for Magnuson Nature News, a monthly program about the amazing nature inside Magnuson Park. Each month will have a different theme featuring one of the animals or plants that lives here in the park. You'll hear fascinating facts, true nature stories that happened in the park, and the best places inside Magnuson Park to find our featured animal or plant of the month, and much, much more. Magnuson Nature News is brought to you by Magnuson Children's Garden, a great place for the whole family to visit together during any month of the year, and where all our events are free. I'm your host, Emily Bishton, and if you're one of the thousands of kids and parents who've met me over the past 15 years at Magnuson Children's Garden, or while I was working at Magnuson Community Center Nature Programs, the Jane Addams or Sandpoint Elementary School Garden Programs, or from any school who has come to Magnuson for a field trip, I want to give you a special welcome. Magnuson Children's Garden is delighted to be part of this wonderful new radio station, Space 101.1, and hope you enjoy this edition of Magnuson Nature News. We have two nature themes for our show, but they're both about birds. The first theme we'll talk about is the magic of migration. The second theme we'll talk about is how amazing owls are. Because right now is the time when one of the resident barn owls of Magnuson Park could be building their nest and raising their young owlets. Migration is in full peak right now. And last month is when it really got started, and now it's really getting going. So millions and millions of birds are heading north from their winter homes in Mexico, Central America, or South America, all the way to their nesting grounds in the United States, especially the Pacific Northwest, Canada, Alaska, and the Arctic. And guess what? They're in a hurry. There's not a lot of time for them to dawdle, because they have a strong instinct to find a suitable nest spot and find a mate, and then they want to fatten up as much as they can so they get a lot of energy for raising their young. It takes a lot of energy to keep those baby birds growing strong. And just like the way spring flowering plants are all putting on amazing colors at this time of year, the plumage feathers of many male birds are also changing into fabulous colors to attract a mate. That makes them a lot easier for us to spot while they're traveling over our heads or through the bushes and trees and grasses at Magnuson Park. It's a feast for the eyes. When migration happens, it happens all across the United States, and there are four big pathways, almost like superhighways, that birds will travel. We call these the flyways. Now, where we are in Seattle is part of the Pacific Flyway. So birds will go up and down the Pacific Flyway Highway every year. But sometimes birds who travel on some of the other flyways in the United States might get blown off course a little bit by weather or some other thing that makes them travel on the Pacific Flyway also. So, keep looking up. Don't be surprised if you see a rare bird overhead or in the park. Besides your own backyard and Magnuson Park, there are a lot of great places in the Pacific Northwest to go see migratory birds. Visit Seattle Audubon's website to find out more about them. Wonder what you could do to help migrating birds. Did you know there's a lot you can do? During migration, all birds need to stop and rest. They also need to find food and find shelter along the way. Your backyard could be a lifesaver for them if it provides any of their basic needs, especially food and water. If you keep a large flat pan of fresh water available and filled up fresh every day, you will give them a big helping hand. Even if what you have is a clean upside-down trash can lid or a big plastic plant saucer, either of those would work great for birds, especially if you put a few large flat rocks in the pan. The reason for this is that birds are very vulnerable to predators when they're drinking or bathing in a bird bath. So if you put a few flat rocks in there, they'll have something strong to grab onto while they're drinking and bathing, and also to push off from if they think a predator is coming and they need to get away. If their bird bath is too slick, some birds will avoid going there, even if they are thirsty. So keep a good eye out for some good flat rocks. And because spring is really just now getting underway, there's not a lot of food out in nature for them yet, like berries and seeds. So you could put some food out for them also in your yard. Maybe some suet cakes or some seed feeders. One of my favorite things to put out is called mealworms. They're actually dried beetle larvae. So they're not gooey or anything like that. You just get them in a bag and you can sprinkle them out. A lot of birds that eat insects will love to pick those off the ground and eat them up quick. Once all the grasses and wildflowers have set seed and the insects are out flying around all over, the birds will find all the food they need out in nature. Thinking about bird migration today has also made me think about my own migration. I grew up in the Midwest, and I set off on a journey when I was 20 years old to live in the desert. But I kind of got blown off course, and I ended up in Seattle. And I stayed there for 40 years. Wow. Now, in the wintertime, I like to migrate down to the desert and spend the winter there, and then fly back up to my nesting grounds in the Pacific Northwest in the spring. Pretty cool. Maybe I'm a migrating bird now. Daytime is the best time to see migrating birds, and some of the places in Magnuson Park that are the best for a nature walk are the Magnuson Wetlands, any of the trails around any of the ponds would be a really good place to keep your ears and your eyes open for migrating songbirds and for songbirds that are actually already arrived at their nesting place in the Magnuson Wetlands and are busy building a nest. Now that the trees are starting to leaf out, it gets a little harder to see last year's nests. But keep your eyes open in case you see a nest in a tree, because sometimes birds will reuse last year's nest and just fix it up a bit so that it's great for this year's nestlings also. Nighttime is the time to keep your eyes and ears open for owls. They're nocturnal birds. So they like to come out right when the sun comes down, and then they go back and sleep when the sun comes back up. So when you want to go for a walk to look at Magnuson's owls, some of the best places to walk are right down Magnuson Park's Main Street, which is 62nd Avenue Northeast, near the community center and across the street and even on the back of the community center building. There are big boxes that were built just for one kind of owl, Magnuson's barn owls. And usually May is the time that their young start to hiss and beg for food from mom and dad from inside the box. So you can, when you see the box, stand and listen. If you hear a hissing sound that goes like this, that is the sound that the owls will make, calling mom and dad to bring them some food. And you might, if you're really lucky, you might get to see what we call a prey drop, which is mom or dad has caught a prey animal, especially a little mouse or a rat, and brings it home to feed its chicks. Owls are some of the most amazing birds I have ever learned about, and I'd like to share a little bit with you about it. Because when I first started watching birds, I liked watching owls because they look so amazing with their big eyes and their big, big head and big body. But later, the more I learned about them, I learned that every single one of their body parts has a really important reason for being that way and makes them some of the most incredible hunters in all of the bird world. All nocturnal animals' eyes have something that's called rods and cones. We have them too. But for nocturnal animals, they have many, many more rods than we have in our eyes. That makes them able to see very clearly with hardly any light, maybe only the light of the moon and the stars. Owl eyes are also huge in comparison to the size of their head. If you were an owl, your eyes would be as big as your fist. So try this. Clench your fist and look at it. Then put it right up in front of your eye, and you can see and feel how big your eye would be if you were an owl. Owl eyes are also shaped kind of like an oval instead of round like our eyeballs. And their eyes don't move in the eye socket the way ours do. Try looking straight up without moving your head. Then look straight down. You might even see your nose. Then, without moving your head, turn your eyes to the left and turn your eyes to the right. We can do that. We can see a lot around us without moving our head. But owls can't do that. Their eyes are fixed in the socket, so they can only look straight ahead. That means in order to look above or below, or from side to side, they have to turn their head. But lucky for them, they have twice as many neck vertebrae as human beings do. We all have 7. They have 14. That's why they can turn their head and look behind them over their shoulder. Then they can turn their head to the front and turn it to the other side and look over the other shoulder, all while keeping the rest of their body perfectly still. They can also almost turn their head upside down to see above them. Pretty amazing. Just imagine if you could keep your body facing forward and look all the way over your shoulder to see who was behind you. Wow. Some people think that owls look kind of quizzical, like they're wondering about us when they look down at us from up in a tree. But actually, it's because of their owl ears that they turn their head from side to side and look a little quizzical. Their ears are also huge, almost as big as our ears. But they're not located in the same place on their head as our ears are. One ear is up high on one side of their head, and one ear is down low on the other side. When they turn their head from side to side, they're focusing their ears so they can hear even the slightest little sound happening on the ground below them or happening in the tree above them. They have super sensitive hearing also, and they can flex the feathers on their face to funnel extra sound into their ears. Kind of like when we put our hand behind our ear and cup it, and it makes us be able to hear a little better. They can do that with the feathers on their head to funnel more sound in their ears. In fact, scientists have done experiments with barn owls to test their hearing. They even blindfolded the barn owl so that it couldn't use its super sight. And they made it hunt with just its super ears. In a pitch black room with no light and blindfolded, a barn owl can find a mouse in less than a minute, just by using its super ears. Another amazing thing about barn owl feathers is that the edge of their wing feathers is like a soft fringe or a fine-tooth comb. And that gives them the ability to fly very, very slow and low over a grassy meadow without falling out of the sky. If an eagle tried to fly low and slow, or even a chickadee, they would just fall out of the sky. But those special wing feathers make it possible for a barn owl to fly very low over a grassy meadow to look for a mouse or a rat. And that soft fringe on their feathers makes it completely silent when they fly. So even a mouse, which has really good hearing also, would never hear the owl approaching. Pretty amazing. I've had a couple of times in my life where an owl flew right over my head, a big barn owl, without making a sound. The only way I knew it was there was that a big shadow came right across my head, and when I looked up, there was a silent owl flying right over my head, very slowly. Pretty cool, but just a little bit scary, too. One other really, really great thing that owls have is strong feet, because they have to catch all their food with their feet. Their toes, which we call their talons, and the claws at the end of their talons are really good at gripping a mouse or a rat that it could catch. In fact, the bottom of their talons is kind of rough and a little bit knobby, so that it's kind of like the perfect grabber. And once they grab, they never let go until it's time to land in a tree and have a feast. And they have four talons like other birds of prey, like eagles and hawks, but owls have one of their talons they can swivel from the back to the front in order to keep a better grip on their prey after they grab it and fly off. Owls have a lot of superpowers, don't they? Boy, oh boy, am I glad I'm not a mouse. Last but not least, not all owls actually make a hooting sound. We think of all owls as hooting because a lot of times when we watch a movie and they show an owl, no matter what kind of owl it is, they will give it the call of the great horned owl, which is but most other owls don't make a hooting sound at all. In fact, the little saw-whet owl, which comes to visit Magnuson Park sometimes, makes a sound that I think sounds like a toy truck. It's kind of like this. Toot, 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 toot. And if you're lucky enough to see a barn owl, it screams. I can't do a big imitation of that. I don't want to hurt anyone's ears either, but I'm also not that good of a screamer. But they scream a very high-pitched sound, and it's why some people call them ghost owls, because they're all white on the underside of their body. And then if they're screaming up there, some people might think that they were like a ghost. But they're not. Screaming is just their way of talking to one another. There are even owls that kind of make a sound like barking dogs. And I'm really glad that I wouldn't be walking with a dog late at night in case the dog would get scared of a owl that hooted like a dog. It's incredible all the different sounds that owls can make. And there are many different owl species that you might even see at Magnuson Park. We've had short-eared owls, long-eared owls, and barred owls there. Lot of different owls at Magnuson, but the one that's the most common is the barn owl, because they nest there, they live there all year round. We call those kind of birds resident birds. And birds that come and visit just for the winter or just for the summer are called migratory birds. All of them are really fun to see and hear. And I hope you'll go for a nature walk at Magnuson Park this month so you can see and hear them for yourself. Well, that's all for this month's show. See you in the park!